The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
James, the question is very, very important because everybody has an opinion about what Washington believed.
Next on Life Today, Dr. Peter Lilback answers the true character and faith of President George Washington.
It just so happens that he was religious, that he did believe in God. In fact, he called himself a Christian, and he wasn't a deist. He actually criticized deism in his writings.
George Washington's Sacred Fire, next.
Thank all of you, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson, and this is Betty. I was so excited when I saw this book held up on a national television program many months back. It's titled Sacred Fire. Very curious about the title. It's about George Washington. And I really wondered about the title, and we're going to find out by the statement of the author how in the world he came up with that title, writing about our nation's founder. And it became the number one bestseller. And the author, Peter Lilback, is president of the Westminster Seminary. He pastors a church near Philadelphia, a great Presbyterian church. He is, in my opinion, a great gift to us today because he has shared an understanding of how our nation came to have such a sound foundation. Would you welcome Dr. Peter Lilback to Life Today?
Thanks so much, James. You're really kind to have me here.
Good to see you.
Pleasure.
This is quite a volume. It's quite a book.
Well, listen, I tell people to make sure you hold it with two hands. Rotator cuff injury is a possibility, you know. So.
Well, it is. It's an incredible volume. And I just have to tell you this. I was blessed years ago to hold the actual penned documents on the parchment, you know, almost delicate, of the writings, many of them. And I began to read them, and I began to weep. And the caretakers of those parchments pulled them back because they didn't want me to damage them. And what I read that revealed the principle and character that really shaped this man's life, it not only brought tears to my eyes, but it brought me to my knees. And I had the privilege of asking a governor if he had by chance been exposed to this man. And he said he had, and his name was Governor Reagan. And it actually preceded his decision, that discussion about George Washington.
Wow.
And these principles, he told me he had held the same parchments, that he too had wept, and that what he saw in this man, these principles, he believed was what made America great, and that we needed to move back to them. So this man is important, and I've got to ask you, why do you think George Washington and knowing the truth about him is important to us today?
Well, James, the question is very, very important because everybody has an opinion about what Washington believed. Everybody knows that he was not a Christian. Everybody knows he was a deist. Everybody knows he wasn't religious. Why do we all know that? Because everybody knows that where you begin determines where you end. It just so happens that he was religious, that he did believe in God. In fact, he called himself a Christian, and he wasn't a deist. He actually criticized deism in his writings. But people realize if they can make George Washington in their image, then they can create a country like him, and that makes everything a lot easier. There's a man by the name of Karl Marx who once said this, "Take away the roots of a tree, and the tree can be moved very easily. Take away the roots of a nation, and you can move it very easily." So the idea of having a founder who's not a Christian, not a believer, is very important if you want to create a country that has no values or that can be easily molded in a different tradition than what most Americans historically thought our country was about. That is a country that was under God. I believe that when we reclaim Washington as the true man of faith that he was, not a perfect Christian any more than the rest of us are, but a man of principle, integrity, and a man who honored the word of God and understood the providence of God, That gives us the ability to get back to first principles in our country. Because we know where we started, we can try to reclaim those things. So it's really the very core of the cultural debate that all of us are wrestling with. What did our founders believe? What did they want? And if we have Washington on our side, we have the beginnings of creating a true reformation in our culture.
How did you come up with this title? Because it's with what had been imposed on people about Washington that didn't allow them to see the truth. They didn't see the sacred aspect of the fire. He was a bigger-than-life person. He was incredibly strong in his leadership qualities.
Right.
And his enemies couldn't kill him. They couldn't hit him. Even the Indians and the chief who had assigned the assassination or the killing of this warrior acknowledged that there was a spirit, there was something going on. So it's a phenomenal story, but the sacred aspect, how did you come up with that sacred fire? And then I want you to tell us about him.
Okay. Well, here's the way it happened. I knew that I wanted to demonstrate from my reading in a written form how living his faith was, how much he believed in God, how much he used the Bible, the fact that he actually called himself a Christian, the fact that he collected sermons and read them and actually wrote to preachers about the sermons he had read. I never heard that. I was finding stuff I couldn't believe. So it was really exciting. And by the time I got to about 1,200 pages worth, I said, I got to give a title to this book. I don't have a clue. I was calling it Washington Religion and all kinds of stuff. And I said, that just doesn't seem right. And I remember sitting in my office and saying, Lord, what am I going to call this book? I've been working on it for 20 years. I need a title. And it was almost as if the Lord gave me a message. He said, don't you remember the inaugural address of Washington where he said, the sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted into the hands of the American people? Wow. I just right there, I said, that's it. It's this George Washington sacred fire. I was literally crying out, saying, and it came from nowhere. And I had to go back then and rewrite 3 or 4 or 5 spots in the book because that's the title of the book. And you know what? That is what it has become. It is like a flame, an ember. And every once in a while, when the wind of the Spirit hits up, it flames up again and people read it and it changes their interest. People have told me they're going into activism, they're going into history, they're going into ministry, they're teaching their children. I had one family that told me this last Thanksgiving, they said, nobody gets to eat Thanksgiving dinner until they say something they've learned from George Washington's sacred fire this year. And that included 3 teenage sons. I said, that probably had to be the most down Thanksgiving anybody's ever had, right? Oh. And they said they sat around the table and they talked about what they had learned. So God's used it. And it's sacred means holy. Mm-hmm. The flame of God. Fire. God revealed himself at the burning bush. Mm-hmm. And those two ideas Washington put together in his own words as he became the president of the United States for the first time. It's his phrase. You know, so I said, let's talk about it.
I just got overwhelmed when you just said it the way you said it, the sacred fire of liberty. Mm. The truth sets us free. We know Jesus is the sum total expression, demonstration, definition of truth. Truth applied, living, abiding in him, and that truth sets us free. It's the liberty. Liberty, the very word liberty implies responsibility, which no one understood any better than our founder and our founders, the father of our nation. We have today talked so much about rights, we've forgotten responsibility. Mm-hmm. But when it's sacred fire, the first thing that comes to life is personal responsibility. You know, Chuck Colson said you don't need as many cops on the outside if you've got some cops on the inside. This man understood that the liberty that they had given us with their fortunes and their sacred honor and everything they had and the things this man did to even keep the Revolutionary Army from revolting when they couldn't be paid, all of the things that he did, the character, and yes, he did pray. It isn't just a painting of him praying. And he freed his slaves before he died. Somehow our founders even knew that the very documents they gave us would rebuke their own life in so many ways. They were giving us something that even though it was of man, it had a sacred imprint on it. It had the fire of God. I like to call it the weight of God's presence.
That's great.
The weight of God's kingdom. Yeah. And this man was an imposing figure. But as you have revealed so clearly, and I wish every Christian school, I wish every public school, I wish this would be one of the textbooks that our students have to read. I mean, see, this is the truth, and it's truth that sets us free. He really was a great man. When you look back in history and wonder why were people misrepresented who really did such great things and such a great effect and such great impact from what they did and such great potential and possibilities and opportunity and the privilege of blessing others that has been handed to us. It came from a solid foundation. Now, if you don't believe in the one who gives us this, then you want to in every way misrepresent, deny, or distort it. And that's precisely what's happened. Dr. Lilbeck, you are a historian. I mean, you're an academic. I mean, you study and you help students. Our students today have not really learned the truth in so many instances about our founders.
That's right.
About our country. And what you tried to do was take one of the most visible people and let us see the foundation upon which he stood and built. And I thank you.
Well, James, thank you. We, about 12 years ago, started an organization called the Providence Forum. The favorite doctrine of George Washington is the word providence. In fact, when he was writing to one of his generals, he said, "The man who can't see God's providence in this is worse than an infidel." The word infidel was a synonym for a deist. He couldn't have been a deist and write a line like that. But over 270 times he uses the word providence. So the Declaration of Independence concludes with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence we mutually pledge to one another. Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That idea of providence is something that we need to recapture. And it's written not just in our Declaration of Independence and in Washington, but it was a great doctrine that we find running through our country through its history. You'll never hear that in our schools because providence is about God. And so what we've tried to do with the Providence Forum is to create an educational opportunity that helps people rediscover the founding values of that created our country and shaped the United States and its emergence to this very day. So I think one of the things that every person can do, if they say that book is too big, I'll tell them how to read it. Get the book, read the first two chapters, and you understand what it's all about. The rest of the book, use it like an encyclopedia. If you say, "I need to know about that," dip in. You don't have to read it from cover to cover, but you need to see enough of the real words of Washington that show that he believed in providence, that he said we must follow the Christ, the divine author of our blessed religion, if we're going to be a happy nation. We need to see the words that he said in his farewell address, that without religion and morality, there's not going to be political prosperity in our country. We need to hear those values taught again. And when we do that, they become part of our own inner sacred fire, when we're burning with passion for the things that really matter. So I think the size might be terrifying, but I go right to all the original words of Washington. I'm not quoting anybody else but Washington. Yeah, and if they don't like my thesis, they got to throw Washington himself out. That's why the book is so big.
Yep.
Because I wanted to turn over every stone and demonstrate that my thesis could not be disproved by Washington himself. So let me give everybody who's listening today one simple truth. The next time someone says to you, "Everybody knows George Washington was a deist." You hear it all the time. It's on the news, history channels, here in classrooms. You see it in writing, magazine articles. Say, "I'm glad you think that. That's wonderful. Can you give me one place where Washington ever claims to be a deist?" And you know what they'll do? Say, "Oh, no, I heard it. Pulitzer Prize winner. I read in this academics book." Say, no, I didn't ask that question. I'm not asking about Pulitzer Prize winners or academics. I want to know from Washington. "Well, no, I saw the History Channel. I didn't ask for television. I want one line from Washington where he says he's a deist." I want you to know, I looked for 20 years to find that line. It doesn't exist. But I found many, many, many places where he speaks of himself as a believer, as a Christian, as a man of faith, and who's totally dependent on the providence of God in history. And when he stood up and spoke of the sacred fire, when he gave his inaugural address, the first third of his sermon, I ask your listeners, your viewers, to go back and read that inaugural address. It's a sermon on providence. He was a preacher of providence. He was preaching. And he says there's no country, any place in history, that has a greater duty to give their honor to the source of all things, providence, than the United States, because of the, quote, many signal inner dispositions of providence on behalf of the American cause. This man was a preacher. That's why you got to like him.
Don't you like what you hear about our founder? Don't you love this? I want to tell you something. This isn't just a big book about a big man. It's a book about how big the God was in this big man and how great providence our God and our Father is. You know, they wanted him to be king, and he knew who the king really was. He knew who had the authority and the power. And it is very important for us to understand, really it is, that this nation was a nation blessed by God. Its founding inspired by people who wanted to be free, who came here looking for God and looking for freedom. And these founders gave us, outside the Bible, the most reliable document to govern people and to keep us free that has ever been handed to man. And it is a gift from God through people just like George Washington. Now, there's a website where you can learn about what you're doing in the Providence. Literally, it's become a ministry. And it's
exactly
just
right.
An instruction seminar situation, really, in so many instances. And this would be a great textbook for your schools. And you can go online and get it. You can go to Amazon.com. It did become number one almost overnight. As a matter of fact, when I first went out to get it, you were having to get reprints to meet all the orders. I actually had to wait a little while for it.
I had a friend who told me that he could have bought it for $900 on eBay. Some of them sold. I said, I would have sold my copy for that.
Yeah, you would have. It is great. Again, let's say thanks to Dr. Lilback, and thank God for the father of our nation who understood who the father really is. You know, Dr. Lilback, I have had the great joy of not only winning people to Christ all over the world, pointing them to Jesus, but trying to help people to look beyond their world, which obviously our founders did. They looked beyond their world, and they saw us. They saw the future. They saw what divine providence would provide for us to bless us. That is, God said of Israel and of the church, we're to bless the nations of the world. Disciple them, not deceive them. Disciple them, not make them dependent upon Pharaoh or government. Appreciate it in its right role, but depend on God. And in so many ways, be our brother's keeper. Love our neighbor. Care about others. You as viewers have helped us put arms of love around people all over the world to save their lives and point them to the source of life. I want you to watch this closely. And what moves on your heart, may it move you to action to literally give life. Watch closely. My precious wife, Betty, prayed so many years ago, almost 20 years ago, when she saw the food run out and the children crawling down into the barrels and trying to scrape food and saw the panic and desperation. She prayed and she looked out at you and said, would you please pray something with us? Pray that the lines to feed these children will always be longer than the line coming to get the food. And Betty, for so many years, I got to be honest with you, only in the last months, and I know there's economic instability and uncertainty. I understand that, and I pray for those of you who are looking for opportunity, and God is the one that will open the way. And God has promised to bless those who are generous, supernaturally, miraculously, and He does. But it's only in recent days now, Betty, that we've actually run out of food. There's two reasons. One, the support is not quite as strong as it has been and must be. And the other thing is the needs are great, just like what's taking place in Somalia, where they're telling us 500,000 could die in the next months. And it's very dangerous. And the missionaries are telling us we're going to have real strong support to continue to go into areas like that. And what we've been doing in Sudan and in the hardest areas of Angola and other parts of Africa. Betty, I don't want us to run out. I want to be able to say to the missionaries, you're going to have enough. You're going to have more than enough. That's my prayer.
That's still my prayer. It continues to be. You know, when you're there and you see these children, they stand in line for hours upon hours waiting. The hope. They've been offered hope that there's going to be some nourishment there. We're going to put some soup in their bowl, and they're not going to go away hungry, James. But when you do run out to see that one that's next in line, the look in their eyes, the distraught, they're like, where is mine? What happened? And they crawl down in the barrels trying to get the last little scoop up with their little tiny fingers. And the barrels are hot, James, because we have to keep it heated up so that it'll be good nourishment for them. It breaks your heart. I don't want that to happen again, and I know you don't either. I hope you will join with us, and let's keep the barrels full so their little bowls can stay full.
You know, when you have had no hope and all of a sudden you see hope, and then right at the last moment, like Betty said, it disappears. It's not only difficult for that child, it tears at the heart of the missionaries. And it tears at our heart because we're doing our best. And this is the last week. And we need an outpouring of love that is expressed in action. We need your help to meet those needs. And there's a joy in doing it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God gives us strength. When we bless others, we're blessed in doing it. And He blesses those who bless others. There's no question. Would you this last week please dial that number, take your bank card. Please do it now. Make the largest gift you can. A $100 gift enables us to feed 10 children for the next months. 50, we can feed 5. 30, we can feed 3. We're offering the bronze, and this is the last time it'll be offered. To those of you who'll help us care for 100 children and feed them and meet their needs. We have the book that Beth has written, her awesome teachings. We have the 90-day Bible. We want to be a blessing to you. Call right now. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make that special gift. Please do it. If you get a busy, be determined. Dial until you get through, because we do need your help.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
As I kneel here by these beautiful children, I want her to be healthy. And you can look at this little girl's complexion right here. She'll step out in the light. See, she's got some of the beautiful glow, but she still has a little bit of the red tint in her hair. which simply means that we're bringing them up to a norm, and this is a very poor area. And if we don't continue to feed these children, they'll just reverse, and they'll go back into serious trouble. And we want to keep that going. We want these children to have an opportunity to get ahead in life. We don't want them just to survive. We want them to have a future and a hope, because this is what God has for them. But it won't happen without your love. So I pray you'll respond today. Make the largest gift you can. If you could put arms around, see, here's five children right here. If you just put arms around these five, or maybe you could extend your arms all the way back here, and you just take 10 children into your arms. Would you help care for these 10 children? Would you do that? This is the last week that we're offering the Heart of the Father bronze. It is an absolutely beautiful collectible. Thank God for the artists that make it available. You help us care for 100 children or more if you can. We really need to hear from you this week. And if you help today and you'd like to have this incredible, incredible look into the life of truly the father of our nation, who understood the Father, really understood divine providence, you're going to actually see the documents and the writing. You'll actually see what the documents look like, the parchments where he wrote, and read what he said. It'll bless you. We'll gladly send it to you today if you'll just help us feed as many of these children as you possibly can. Join Betty and me in saying thanks so much to Dr. Wilbach.
Thank you for the 20 years that you put in this.
God bless all of you for watching Sacred Fire. I pray it gets on every one of us. To God be the glory. Everyone is rightly concerned about who will lead our nation, who will fill the various offices. I've written a commentary that I believe God put on my heart. It's critically important. It's titled, What Not Who. We must understand the what to find the right who and insist the right what is done. Go to the website, get a copy, and pass it on.
Join us next week to find out what it really means to have more than enough as we explore God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.